Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Now, with 3 weeks of impending power outages due to gas shortfall from Nigeria, ECG is tonight fighting off demands for a timetable as they lament the huge financial difficulties crippling their operations. And speaking at a forum organized by CSOs in the energy sector, the deputy managing director of ECG, Kwajo Obeng, explained that insufficient gas supply to power the country's thermal plants is causing the intermittent power supply. He called on Ghanaians to pay their electricity bills to cushion ECG and help keep the light on.
The country as a whole, Africa as a whole, there are financial challenges everywhere. And as you said, if you are able to know, then we can all think through how to manage it. And so I think PRC is here. They brought some mechanisms for addressing some of the financial challenges. But it boils down to you and I paying our bills. It's a chain. We buy the product, we bring it, it is transmitted to us, we sell it. The expectation is that we'll collect the money, it goes back through the chain to the IPPs. And then the gas supplies. But I must say that the system is not 100% efficient. And so we do have situations where it is difficult to take the money and pay it back to the providers. But we are improving.
Also
cost. It may cost them so. As I said, sitting in ECG, I know the challenge I face with getting money from my customers. Now, the IPPs may also have, because we are also a customer to the IPPs. So the IPPs in their statement may also cite challenges from their customer, which is ECG. So it's a chain that goes through and will all pinpoint financial challenges, as I said.
Now, let's listen to Gredco, who also outlined that, it comes down to financial challenges amongst the reasons for the current power supply challenges.
With respect to the transmission network, we have to date 6,557 circuit kilometers of transmission circuits. Predominantly it's 161 kilovolts. We also have an old legacy 69 kilovolt circuit that's typically in the Volta region. And then we also have 225 kilovolts, especially in the connections with Cote d'Ivoire and Burkina. And then we have, over the past 10 plus years, started to build more of 330 kilovolt circuits, which will basically overlay the 161 that we have. Last on this slide, so the highest demand we've seen so far is 3,618 megawatts. This we recorded it in December 2023. Typically, the highest demand, which we call the peak demand in the year, is experienced in December. I believe that Ghanaians like Christmas, so just before Christmas, there is a lot of demand. So that's when we registered it, and we believe that we'll grow. In fact, we should have gone beyond that by now, if not for the load management that we're doing. And so, because capacity has been a challenge, we have not actually gone beyond the December maximum. But if you look at the last slide, I see that the current projected demand is 3,648 megawatts. That is June. In March and April, it was actually 3,800 plus. And so, the projections have been high. It's just that we have not had enough generating capacity to be able to realize that amount.
So this is top story. Let me bring you in studio and speak to Ken, because Kenneth Jesse is our man who has been covering this particular interaction between the CSOs and the energy sector players. Ken, I mean, the issue that every Ghanaian is asking for is that whilst we've been told that there is, you know, some 3 weeks impending doom, so then of course we need a timetable to help us plan our lives.
Right.
What was the conversation around that area?
Well, the conversation around that area is that, for example, this 3 week that we have been told that we're not going to, you know, we are going to experience intermittent power supplies. We know the reason. The reason is that we don't have enough gas from Nigeria. But the ECG is saying that they cannot provide a timetable now because they are not able to project the power shortfalls ahead of time, that, for example, we're not going to have this amount of power for this amount of time because we have excess capacity. What we don't have is fuel and gas to power them. So they can't really just based on those projections and say that we are releasing a timetable. And even if a timetable is ever going to be released, it will have to come from the board members of ECG.
And that's the conundrum that we have to deal with.
Yes.
So in the next 3 weeks, whilst they're going to put off the light, we don't know. You can't tell when your light will go off.
Yes. And then you can't tell when your light will go off, as you've mentioned, but they've also indicated, as I said, that the board members of the Electricity Company of Ghana will have to determine. So maybe within that time, within now till when we start experiencing that intermittent power outage, perhaps we're going to see a timetable within that period.
All right. Now, it's also important that we note that from morning till now, we understand that gas flow from WAPCO has improved. In the morning, it was around a figure, but just around 5 p.m., we've seen an increase in the gas coming in from Nigeria. So that is a bit of an update we needed to add.
But, right.
Well, since in the morning, the flow was a bit low, but in the evening, it's gone up a bit. So that's what we do know. Now, one thing we also know is that WAPCO transport the volumes that NGAS get to their facility in Nigeria,
right,
to their off-takers, including VRA in Ghana. The volumes vary on daily basis, depending on their locations. And that's why, you know, you can be having maybe a 50 mm scf of gas today, but maybe tomorrow it could be 100 or 150 mm scf, depending on what they do get from Nigeria. We also understand that from the west, that's from Takoradi to Tema, they do get you know, an amount, but they quoted around over 200 mm scf. Let's see how that pans out. But let's get onto the phone lines now and bring in the energy sector players. Let's speak to Jifa Bampo, who speaks for the Great Ghana Great Company. Jifa, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, 3 weeks is a long time to endure doom. So how is GRIDCO mitigating the impact that this will have on Ghanaians?
Thank you very much, Kojo, and good evening to your listeners. So what we normally do is we collaborate with the value chain, and in particular the Electricity Company of Ghana, to manage whatever deficit may exist. And that depends on a number of factors. It's not just as simple as, oh, we are not getting 55 million standard cubic feet of gas from Nigeria, and so we should know or project what the load management should be on a daily. It's not as simple as that. And if you would indulge me, in Ghana, we produce our own gas. We use about 335 million standard cubic feet of gas every day. So every day that gas is produced from both ENI and the Jubilee field coming through the various pipelines. Gensa is also pushing some gas to the middle belt. All of it is used in generation and it is all consumed in a day. But on some situations, you may have some plants that may be suddenly unavailable. And sometimes you don't have the fuel to bring in another plant. So there are multifaceted issues that sometimes causes the deficit. Also, you may have plants that have a fault, a sudden fault. maybe there is a machine that, a component of a machine that suddenly isn't working. And so that, even though you may have gas, that plant cannot run. So that is why the utility providers and transmitters and distributors have explained that it's a bit challenging to provide the timetable as it is. So we will do what we can with the gas and the additional fuels we understand are coming, so that based on what is available, you push whatever plant through to reduce the impact of any deficit that may exist.
So there is some additional fuel coming in. When will they come?
I understand that some additional fuel is coming in, but I'm not sure when, because those procurement issues don't sit with the Ghana Grid Company. Those are commercial issues that typically sit with government. And so we are really clear about those timelines. I'm not able to say, but I'm told that there's some efforts to get in some additional fuel as well, which would serve as a plug-in to reduce the impact.
Let me bring in Benjamin Boache. He is the executive director for the Africa Center for Energy Policy. Ben, you've heard there, I mean, Gridco says it will be difficult to release a timetable. You agree?
Yeah, thanks for having me. No, I don't think Gridco has said that. The timetable that people are requesting for is just an indicative schedule for people to be able to plan. We know that gas supply has curtailed to some extent. We also do know we don't have enough liquid to be able to generate enough power to supply to the grid. And let me also add that the challenge we're having with Nigeria now is just an additional challenge to the deficit that already the system had. All right, so it's rather going to deepen. And you remember we've been asking for this shadow for so long, and it never materialized. Nobody wanted to do it. So if you have a situation going to deepen, in fact, we don't know exactly how much we are losing at this point. We have, as we told today, a firm, you know, supply of 55 MMcf a day, which could be powering about, 300 to 400 megawatts, depending on the efficiency of the plants that we use that fuel. So that could be a very significant deficit, which needs to be communicated appropriately. I don't see why we keep taking power and not, indicating to the people that we'll be taking down the power. If you give them indication and you don't even take it, it's better, so that people can actually plan their life. But what for me this exposes really is the recurrent lack of planning, and also the financial challenges that makes it difficult to be optimal in our plan to generate electricity. Gas is transmitted same way everywhere in the world. Gas is produced same way everywhere in the world. But people plan adequately for some of these intermittencies, because it will happen. There are machines that are working and running, and sometimes they will go off. And that is why we spend so much money to build dual fuel plants. So if you build a dual fuel plant, it's more expensive than having a single fuel plant. So if we invest that much money and we cannot prepare, the contingency balance to be able to make use of that infrastructure, then we just wasted the money. And, consistently that's what we keep seeing, where we are never prepared for the eventuality. We know that gas supply at some point will be curtailed, whether for a plant shutdown or some of these emergencies. But we never plan for them to have the stock of fuel that allows us to do the switching to appease the investment that we have actually made in those systems. And that is why we keep explaining to the people why we cannot give power. But the systems are there for us to be able to provide electricity uninterrupted.
Well, Ben, they've mentioned, and if you listen to the explanations given today at that particular event, it comes down to finances. We don't have the money. What should government be doing to ensure that, the fuel is there for the plant to be powered?
I think our position is that government should just go off this business. Government is not the one who's supposed to ensure that there's fuel supply. This is a commercial enterprise. Let's see power as business and let people who have money to do their business come and do it. When we keep doing the politics with it and always looking to government to go and buy fuel in 21st century to come and produce electricity and distribute to people, and that is why we have these challenges. So we abuse the system, create the inefficiencies, and we're always looking to government. When government should be doing other things, looking at the other socioeconomic welfare of the people and allowing the business side of things where private capital is interested to actually manage that space so that the state can resign to regulation and effectively regulate what the private sector does. We can't keep looking to government to provide money for the power sector at the expense of any other socioeconomic intervention that we do have in our country. And perhaps this is another time to demand that the power sector is fully privatized and government regulates the same. Otherwise, we'll always be talking about them so in this country.
But government already in signing contract with these IPPs, as part of the conditions was to provide fuel for them, you know, so in instances where we cannot get this gas. So it's an obligation on government to do so. And government knew it before he took on that obligation, isn't it?
And that is one side of the terrible decisions that happened. I mean, some of the fuel generation plants were recently even converted to tolling, even when the fuel supply was on the generation companies. So what that means is that those companies would have had the responsibility to make sure that they had either gas or liquid fuel to make sure that they are always running. Government recently converted some of those plants to tolling, which means that we have to provide the fuel for them to work. So if we don't raise the money to buy the fuel for them, they cannot generate. The worst part, we're going to pay them because it's take or pay. Right? So it's just the poverty of decisions in the industry that is actually creating some of these problems where we are always looking for explanation. But we know how industry functions everywhere. They are so standardized that if we take away the politics and the procurement, it can function. It can be optimal. It can be effective. But the politicians are not willing to let go of such a lucrative venture where one contract can turn somebody's life around. And therefore, that is where they play.
Let me bring in, still on for me, let me bring in Kojo Poku, who is also an energy analyst. Kojo, I'm grateful to you for joining this conversation.
All right, thank you. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. Now, if you look at what's happening, we are told that in the next 3 weeks, there will be, you know, power outages because we're not getting enough gas. ECG says they cannot provide Ghanaians with a timetable. That is quite troubling because for a company that depends on power for its production, it's going to suffer without knowing when and what time should I prepare for. What do you need to
do? Let me ask something quickly. Where did we get the 3 weeks from? Because I know there is a letter out there from Greco, but I didn't see the 3 weeks on that letter. Mm. I know there was a statement that there's going to be a disruption because of maintenance being undertaken in Nigeria. So the gas coming out of the West Afghan gas pipeline is going to be disrupted. But I didn't get it because I see these 3 weeks everywhere. Where is this 3 weeks coming from?
Okay, so let me get to you. The statement says, the West African Gas Pipeline Company Limited regrets to announce that it is experiencing a drop in gas volumes available for transportation due to ongoing maintenance works by one of its gas producers in Nigeria. One of the producers of the natural gas, WAPCO Transports from Nigeria, has shut down its facility for a 3-week maintenance.
Yes, the maintenance being undertaken in Nigeria is for 3 weeks. It doesn't mean that we are going to experience plant outages for 3 weeks. So let's explain this. Now, before I get onto that, I want to say good evening to my brother, Ben. Look, there is a thing that every time something happens, people want to be informed. Government is being proactive in informing the public of something that has happened. Because everybody says, look, why is our light going off? When the light goes off, we should be told why our light is going off. The system is saying that there is a scheduled maintenance in Nigeria for 3 weeks. Now, NGAS is like our own Ghana gas. There are a lot of companies in Nigeria that have offshore gas that feed the gas to NGAS. That gas is transmitted to 3 countries, Benin, Togo, and Ghana. It doesn't mean that because one supplier has a scheduled maintenance for 3 weeks, we are going to have light outages for 3 weeks. What it means is that there's going to be a disruption because you might not get the full scarf that you need daily. So let's say we are getting 60 scarves a day. It means that we might not get the 60, we might get 40, or we might even get the 60 if NGAS managed to source alternative gas to supply us. So I just wanted us to correct that. So I'm surprised where we keep getting this thing that we are going to get interrupted, we're going to get power outages for 3 weeks. Now, Ben made a very good statement, and he's saying that what needs to be done in the power sector is to leave government out of this purchasing of fuel thing, because it's a commercial venture. And those are some of the things that in the manifesto that I chaired, which is the Dr. Baumier's manifesto on energy and petroleum, those are some of the recommendations that we are looking at, that government will come out and let that space be a commercial venture. IPPs will source their own fuel, and if a supplier is NGAS and NGAS is having disruption, that IPP is supposed to source alternative fuel himself to make sure he meets his contractual obligation to supply electricity to ECG. It keeps government out of that situation, and I'm happy Ben mentioned that. So going forward, yes, there is a disruption in terms of maintenance, but there's a lot being done in the background by government to make sure that the disruption is minimal, and two, the flow of gas doesn't drop to zero, but in fact, alternative sources and gas have assured government that they will look at alternative sources to make sure that the contractual limit of 60 scarf is met in the coming days.
And do we know these alternative sources?
It is not. You see, our supplier is NGAS. In Nigeria, the offshore companies are Chevron, Shell, a lot of companies that produce offshore Nigeria. Our contract is not with those companies. Our contract is with NGAS. So it is just a matter of information. Everybody in Ghana always cry that government should give information. The ministry, GRICO and ECG, is being proactive, listening to Ghanaians and giving that information. So I think it's a good thing that that information is given and everybody is aware that this is why my light is going off, because there's a disruption coming from NGAS. But there is a lot being done. It doesn't mean that nothing is being done.
Well, so the person who is to listen to this, he is looking at my power staying on. So as we speak, are we saying that because government is doing something, we won't be seeing these power outages?
Well, the disruption, we have been, as a citizenry, we've been informed of the problem. Government's role is to make sure that there is no disruption or the disruption is kept to minimal. My preference, which is Ben's preference, which he mentioned, for us in the civil society space, is in the long term, government stays out of that. So when these disruptions do come, it is not that nobody should mention government, because government will have no role in the purchase of fuel. But that is the medium to long term solution when some of us have the basically opportunity to put our policies across. But today, the problem that we have is that government supplies the fuel, and government has told us that, yes, NGAS is finding alternative sources to supply us to make sure that at least we get the minimum of the 60 scarf daily.
Well, but that's just a statement to put out there. But when Ghanaians are to experience these doomsaw or this doomsaw, and they're asking for a timetable, we're also not being provided with a timetable. So how should the Ghanaian go through this period when he or she cannot plan his or her life because he's not been told when his or her power will be taken off?
Well, you're asking the wrong person for that answer. You have to ask the ECGs and the ministries why such arrangements are not being placed. But for me, I just think that the information that Ghanaians should know is that nobody has said, there's no letter that has come out to say that there's going to be outages for 3 weeks. There's no letter that has said that.
Okay.
There is no information out there that says that just to say there is going to be a disruption, and for the public information is being put out there. But there's a lot going on in the background to make sure that if there's going to be any disruption, it's either zero or minimal.
Well, the GRIDCO and ECG statement begins by saying that the Ghana Grid Company Limited, GRIDCO, and ECG wish to inform the public that due to a reduction in gas supply from Nigeria since yesterday, Wednesday, 12 June 2024, some areas across the country have experienced interruption in power supply. The West African Gas Pipeline Company, WAPCO, in a statement has explained that the reduction in gas supply was due to maintenance works being undertaken by a gas supplier in Nigeria and is projected to last 3 weeks. The maintenance has caused a reduction in overall power generation capacity in Ghana, which could result in load management over the period. So that's where we have it.
So that underline the word could, which could. But it didn't say which will.
But already
it said
people
which
have,
could.
But
already, brother, you read the English yourself, right?
I get it. But already you heard there that already some people have suffered the impact.
Oh, it says it could. So it might result, it might not result. So, I mean, look, we have the information.
No, Mr. Boko, listen to this. I'm saying that the statement says that has resulted, some areas across the country have experienced interruption in power supply. It says the West African Gas Pipeline has also explained that this is because some maintenance works are being undertaken by a gas supplier in Nigeria and it's projected to last for 3 weeks. I mean, if you combine the two words, aren't we right to say
there isn't only one gas supplier to NGAS? That's what I explained to you initially.
No. I get it, but I'm also asking that if you look at what we've been
called
told,
me and Ben,
can't people...
You see, that's the problem I have these days with some of you hosts that you call us. Mm. You call us as experts to explain something to you and your viewers.
And I'm only trying to get an understanding for all of us because you say that people may not suffer the impact. And I'm saying, per this statement by ECG and GridCo, they say that some people or some areas have already suffered the impact. That's all I want. I want us to clarify.
Yeah, but nobody's denying that. I'm just trying to correct and I'm just trying to make you aware that there isn't just one supplier to NGAS. NGAS have over 10 companies offshore Nigeria supplying gas to Nigerian Gas. Nigerian Gas is a company like our own Ghana Gas here that has a facility to transport the pipe to transport the gas to us. They are not the field producers of the gas.
Okay.
The field producers in Nigeria are like Chevron, Shell, all the other companies that do offshore work. They are the ones with gas. In Ghana, we have Talo and we have the other ENI who produce gas to Ghana Gas. Okay? So in Nigeria, they have other.
Okay, yeah. I am grateful to you, Kojo Poku, for joining. Let me bring in Jifa Bampo here. With tonight and going forward, is there any possibility that some areas will have a power outage because of this? Hello, do I still have Jifa Bampo on the line? Jifa Bampo, I'm trying to find out.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I didn't know you were referring to.
No, I'm asking that, I mean, once Kojo is saying that it doesn't mean we'd have power outages. I'm asking that tonight, will we have areas that would experience some interruption as a result?
I don't know because I don't have the supply outlook. But for those of us in the industry, we know that when it rains, for instance, as it is now, demand drops a little bit, it becomes a bit cooler. And so the demand for power may be as intense as one would have projected. So it's possible that maybe whatever deficit that may have been projected would even drop or may be non-existent. So I'm not able to say that, but looking at the current weather, at least that plays a role in reducing the impact on demand.
Okay.
But the point is that, yes, we are trying to find measures to mitigate the impact. So to some extent, Mr. Poku is correct, that it's possible that there might be times that there will be no impact. But it's also possible that there might be times where you might see some impact. And that is because yesterday the day before, we had no gas coming from Nigeria at all. But today I'm learning that there's some that came through. So I think it's an up and down situation. And I think that's the reason why the projections to give a timetable, particularly from the ECG side, is a bit challenging. Because for GridCo, we look at the system and then we give the projection in the supply outlook. But sometimes, based on sudden changes, that also is impacted. So we are working with various contingencies. I know that, like I said earlier, some fuel is coming in, but overall, nobody likes this situation because, to be fair, when there is an outage of any sort, nobody gains. The utilities lose because it affects their bottom line. we're also in business because we must pay our staff, we must run operational costs, undertake maintenance activities, and invest in projects. And if we don't transmit power, we are not able to do that. And so also, I'm sure, for the generators and the suppliers and all that. So it's a value chain, and the value chain continues to engage in an effort to address some of the issues. I've heard some of the concerns raised by Ben Bradley. Well, those are decisions that are policy decisions which we leave to our mother ministry and the regulators to take a decision on. But I'm glad at least there was an opportunity to engage with the CSOs today and be a bit more open about our activities, our operations, and our mandate. And I'm hoping that in time, more people will understand what we do, particularly GridCo, because we sit in the middle. We are a transporter of electric power, and it's in bulk. We don't deal directly with domestic homes or small businesses.
Okay.
And so we need to make quite clear.
Okay, all right. We're also aware that the planned maintenance for Ghana Gas is due. What are the plans to ensure that that also doesn't compound the problems?
I work for GridCo, not Ghana Gas. I don't know anything about that coming up. What I know about maintenance activities, particularly related to value chain partners, they write to the mother ministry and to the regulator seeking time off to undertake these activities. And so these are discussed, the information is shared among the value chain. And then similar to this situation we have now with limited gas inflows from Nigeria, we try and take mitigating measures to address the gap that may emerge because a partner is undertaking maintenance. Maintenance is important. Mm. We must do all of it when it comes. So I think it's something that generally we all agree to. It's something that is usually discussed and then it's executed.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. Jifa Bampo is Manager Corporate Communication, GridCo. Ben Bwache is Executive Director for Africa Center for Energy Policy, ASEP. Kojo Poku is an Energy Analyst. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being part of Top Story. Up next is Ghana Connect. Good evening.